This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:05, Wednesday, the 30th of March. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shao Ning, together with Tan Chen Lee. And in an undisclosed location is the one and only Philip C. First, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
In US, a lot of positivity. Dow up 1%, S&P 500 up 1.2%, NASDAQ up 1.8%. And in Asia, Nikkei and Hang Seng up 1.1%, Shanghai Composite down 0.3%, SDI up marginally 0.06%, and FBM KLCI down 0.9%.
As usual, why are we down? Well, we'll find out. But for more in terms of what's moving global markets, we speak to Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Good morning, Jack. Jack, the tech-heavy NASDAQ has recovered from the year's lows. I mean, it's only down 6.55% on a year-to-date basis. Now, when we last spoke to you, you were a little bit bearish on tech. But has your faith in tech been restored somewhat?
I mean, I never lost faith, let's say that. I was just a bit wary about where the market was, and it certainly has been a very strong couple of weeks. We started to deploy some cash into the market, and that went primarily towards tech. I think the market's looked through some of the issues that we have, but we still have that outstanding issue of inflation and how quickly interest rates are going to go up, certainly in the US. But it's certainly been a good couple of weeks, and I think it's warranted. I mean, you did see, like you said, you know, the market's only down 6%, but it was in double digits at some point. And I think we sort of flight back to some of these quality names and some of these bigger tech names. And that buy the dip mentality still retains a hold on investors around the world. I still think it's going to be a volatile year. I still don't think we're out of the weeds in general. But, I like where we're at right now. And I think we're setting up for a strong couple of months over the next, 4 to 8 weeks.
Now, Jack, I know you're a big follower of Apple, and last week they came up with news that they're going to offer a subscription service for their phones, and the share price rallied. How is this model going to work? Are you a believer of it?
I mean, I think, not to talk about that specific model in general, but Apple is trying to move towards a more services model and has been for quite a long time. So they understand, I think, but they can't continue to sell us the same thing year on year end, and we're going to accept it no matter what. So, if you look at their services growth within their balance sheets, that's been rising quite a lot over the last couple of years and makes a big part of their revenue. So, look, this is a smart company. I think it understands its customer. I think it understands its growth, and I wouldn't doubt them on that. But this is more of a longer trend on where Apple's going and trying to get their revenue more to becoming, a SaaS type of business rather than just a hardware type of business. But, I mean, incredible company. It's done really well, and I think you continue to see more innovations like that in terms of the way they price and in terms of the way they retain revenue over time.
Let's move our attention to China. So Shanghai surprised, or some would say shocked, global markets by announcing a phased lockdown of China's largest city. So how would you unpack the impact of this on the Chinese stock exchanges and financial markets?
Yeah, it's an interesting story that's coming out of China, to be honest with you. And it's really kind of contrary to what the rest of the world is occurring across the globe. Now, we must understand that China has had pretty much a zero COVID policy for quite a long time. In fact, President Xi only a couple of months ago reinforced that zero COVID policy. Now, we have seen them claw that back somewhat. And in fact, President Xi last month kind of remonstrated to the market that they were looking to move away from that. It's an interesting kind of note for China. I mean, I think Omicron's going to spread very quickly through there. And I think vaccination rates in terms of the elderly and booster rates in particular, they flag behind, and we're starting to see that effect there. What effect it could have on the Chinese market and the global market in general, I mean, we've got to understand that Shanghai is a massive port for global exports. So, those supply lines that we were hoping were starting to soften or loosen quite a bit take another impact when you get the world's biggest exporter, locking down one of its major cities. The effect on commodity prices could be quite big. I mean, we did see oil prices come off due to that lockdown. So, China's kind of in that really you know, hard phase right now where that zero COVID policy may need to be scrapped, and that may bring some short-term pain in order to get some long-term gain. So we continue to follow it. Now, I must say they have been quite a good manager of COVID over the last couple of years, but this was quite a big shock, and I think it needs a new policy outlook by the Chinese. I think the zero COVID policy needs to end, and they need to start to get those booster rates up in order to start to reopen as the rest of the world is reopening. So this could have a big impact on global markets and their market in general. I mean, you know, domestic consumption, domestic hospitality, tourism and travel could suffer a lot because of this. While your tech names could benefit because you may see a move towards the e-commerce plays and the Meishuan plays and the food delivery plays in Shanghai and across major cities across China. So a massive move, not only for them, but across global markets.
Okay, let's drill down to one of the names, Meituan. You just said that a minute ago, giant food delivery, right? So their share price has kind of sparked after pretty good fourth quarter earnings. Do you have a bullish outlook on this company, or are there better alternatives in this industry?
Look, I followed the company for a long time, and I still believe that they're one of the emerging tech giants within China. I believe they're going to be along the names of, you know, Alibaba and Tencent and Baidu, and certainly are there. Now, if we break down the report in general, I mean, it was one of their worst quarters in quite a long time, but we did see them beat on their margins. What I think the market really liked was the recovery they saw in cities like Shenzhen post-lockdown. You know, we saw food delivery numbers go up. We also got to remember that they are a massive car, you know, kind of like an Uber within China. And we did see those numbers boost a lot. This is a very well-run company that's been under a bit of pressure because of regulation. And they did forecast that they were moving towards capping some of those rates they had on, you know, restaurants on their food delivery platform. What we've also got to understand is the stock is off, you know, nearly 50%. In the last 6 months. So I believe there's a bit of value in where they are right now. And the numbers show that they can grow in a market that's been really regulated and one that's been, you know, kind of regulated in their scene specifically. Not a bad report. And I still am a believer in general in Chinese tech. And that's had a couple of great weeks after, you know, some lofty or some really volatile times in the last couple of months. But a good report by a good company, which is well run, in my opinion.
Okay. So lastly, moving on to your backyard, what are your preliminary thoughts on the Australian federal budget that came out yesterday? Is it forward looking for one crafted to placate voters in the election year?
That's a really good question. I mean, if you've listeners don't know, we are due to call a federal election at any time right now. So Australian federal law says that you have to give at least 33 days before you call a federal election, you know, to allow for election campaigning. And it looks like we're going to go to the polls at May 14th. So we had our federal budget yesterday. Let's just break it down. I mean, there was a 22-cent excise cut on petrol. That certainly puts a lot more money in people's pockets. You know, everybody around the world is suffering from that. We saw a $250 cash payment in people's bank accounts that'll come out in the next couple of weeks. All of the big move items were really pre-financial year. So I think it's really positioned to, you know, I don't want to say buy a few votes, but really, you know, get people in the minds of the coalition government going forward. I think it's a bit, you know, election savvy, not necessarily as forward-looking as we wanted so, but they were the two real big ticket items that came out of it. And it's going to be an interesting time for Australia. Now, if you want to price it up for the bookies, the bookies down here have the Australian Labor Party, which is in opposition at the moment, as a $1.40 favourite. So for those of you who don't know, if you put $100 down, you get $40 back. And our government that is currently in it right now is a 3-1 outsider. So it does look like we're going to have a government change if the bookies are right. Mm. But certainly one positioned, in my opinion, to favour, you know, what is an upcoming federal election going forward.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, giving us his views on the market. And he sounds a little bit more bullish on technology, doesn't he, Philip?
Yeah, he does. I mean, I think the recent rally in the past 1-2 weeks, I think, has buoyed his mood because, you know, when we've had conversations with Jack in the past few weeks, generally it's a bit more morose. And I think the conversation has also extended not only to US tech, but China tech as well, isn't it? We are seeing some upside there. And I was very struck by what he talked about Meituan and how the results were very much driven by how, you know, certain cities were able to recover quite fast post-pandemic, in which he gave the example of Shenzhen as an example, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's, for me, a stark shift in tone and contrast to the conversations we've had in the past 2-3 weeks, you know, about techlash taking place, but perhaps we're seeing less of that now.
Yeah. And just very quickly, one company, one US company, well, actually it's a Canadian company, I have to correct myself, Lululemon, although listed in US, they reported fourth quarter earnings for 2021 yesterday, and the sales for the year exceeded analyst expectation. So suggesting that the company is overcoming supply chain snags. Share price actually rose as much as 8.7% in extended trading yesterday. So athleisure, despite some of us having to go back to work, is still very much in vogue.
I don't want to plug the product, but I can attest to its comfort level. It really does position itself as a being able to deliver comfortable clothing. So I would
stylishly,
vouch for their,
by the way,
stylishly, I would vouch for their ABC pants, their anti ball crushing pants.
By the way, the market really does quite like this stock. If I look at Bloomberg, there are 21 buys, 9 holds, 2 sells. Consensus target price for this stock is $414. Current share price before it closed was $343. This company, the other positive thing for it is that they are looking to sell sneakers very soon. It's so interesting. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.